And now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Sure, times are tough for a whole lot of people, but try living on just $500,000 a year in Manhattan, next to a Rockefeller or a Trump. President Obama ordered a $500,000 cap on executive pay for financial companies that take taxpayer money. And in an article in Sunday's New York Times, Alan Sulkin found the numbers just don't add up. $30,000 for private school, almost $200,000 for mortgage and co-op fees, $45,000 for the nanny, and, well, we're not even talking about income taxes. So is it fair, is it wise for the government to cap CEO pay for financial institutions that take federal bailout funds? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org, and you can weigh in at our website at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. Alan Sulkin wrote the article, You Try to Live on $500,000 in This Town. He joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
It's a thrill, Neil.
And I bet your inbox is full this morning.
I'm getting an email every 15 seconds, a hate mail.
Hate mail.
Well, people seem to believe that I wrote an editorial defending the right of rich bankers to earn millions of dollars a year, when in fact what I was doing was reporting on the lifestyle that many of them are simply in.
And before we get to that lifestyle, about which there is, as you suggest, considerable anger, let me hear a little bit about that populist rage because of the difficulties that people are having. Manhattan, even in Manhattan, there's an awful lot of people who manage to scrape by in less than $500,000 a year.
Well, try earning what a journalist earns.
Yeah.
You know, a new study came out for the Center for an Urban Future pointing out that it takes $123,000 a year to live a middle-class lifestyle in New York City, the same lifestyle that you could live on $50,000 a year in Houston, Texas, which we would call Houston, of course, living in New York.
Of course.
But I think, you know, your previous guest talked about it. I think people are angry, and I think people are looking for, I don't want to say scapegoats, but people are angry, and that's what I'm seeing in the response to this story.
And on the other side, are, as you talk to bankers, are they feeling like they've been unfairly picked out, that they're being scapegoated?
Well, absolutely. A banker will tell you that actually he has less money than a soccer mom in wherever soccer moms live. I don't know if they live in New York City because there's no fields here. But people have made commitments to a certain lifestyle, to a certain kind of mortgage, to having their kids in private school. And I'm not defending it, but it's actually quite fascinating to behold that you can have no money at the end of the year, even if you're making $2 million a year.
So just like a hardworking journalist who lives pretty much paycheck to paycheck, though I'm sure you've got untold millions socked away, that these people making these fabulous salaries, or what we would think be fabulous salaries, they're living paycheck to paycheck too?
Well, that's right. We did the numbers in the story, and if you're making $1 million a year and you have as you ran through the numbers, if you have a mortgage payment of $8,000 a month and a payment to support your doorman and your property taxes of another $8,000 a month, then, you know, the list goes on. Nannies, and the important thing to remember is this is a certain lifestyle that most of us don't live and most people would find indefensible. There's a certain peer pressure of the kind of people who live this lifestyle to keep it up like that.
Candace Bushnell of Sex and the City fame told you it's a lot like high school for the Millionaires Club. It's about fitting in. That's why people live in these kinds of places and spend that kind of money.
If you're going to go to 3 charity galas a year, you know, the people who go to those galas and who pay $25,000 a seat at these galas, which, by the way, many of them for great charities that are important to a lot of us, including NPR. I don't know that that's true. Just want to point that out.
Okay.
But, you know, they are expected by, you know, the other women and the other men to show up in their finest costumes and to have a new dress for every gala. And that can be $10,000 or $15,000 a dress. They're expected to look good in that dress, and that requires a personal trainer 3 times a week at $80 an hour, and that adds up to thousands of dollars a year. And in order to go to the personal trainer, well, you're going to have a nanny in order to have that kind of free time during the day because kids are a lot of work.
And if you have more than one kid, you might need more than one nanny.
Well, that's very popular. A lot of people in New York do feel you need one nanny per child. Crossing the street is very complicated.
And somebody's got to get to soccer practice, as you suggest, and then on to ballet. And somebody else has French lessons on the other side of town.
And that's why you need a driver to and what you need for that driver to be is a retired cop. So he has a permit to carry a gun so he can defend your family.
Defend your family.
Well, you know, New York City is, even though it's not dangerous, people think, why not have a driver with a gun? It's only another $50,000 a year.
Right. Let's get some callers on the line. And again,
I know we're going to get some callers.
But Alan Tulkin, again, he's not defending this piece. He's reporting this piece. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And Susan on the line. Susan from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller. I love this show.
Oh, thank you.
I look at it this way. Why should those people make more than the president? The president makes $400,000 a year. All of us out here working day to day, we do it on $30,000, $40,000 a year. There are people in New York that live on minuscule amounts. If they can't fit into the lifestyle making $500,000, if they can't make their dollar stretch, they need to move.
And readjust their lives. If they can't make it on the Upper East Side, Alan, why don't they move to Queens?
You know, it's interesting. I love being a journalist, and I'm sure that you do too, Neil.
I do.
We have great jobs. But, you know, and I never wanted to get into it for the money. But these are people who made a lot of decisions to chase the money at every turn. And for them, this is the point of their lives, is to be this kind of person, live this kind of life. It's not defensible, but it's interesting as a character study.
And when people like Susan, I'm sure you relayed her complaints and complaints like them to these people who are feeling that they couldn't possibly get by on $500,000 a year, what do they say?
Well, you know, I it's very hard. There's a lot of people having a lot of financial pain right now. And I know that, you know, the bankers wish it was different. But I also think that there's, to some extent, some scapegoating going on here with, you know, America loves to hate people who wear monocles, you know, and
the guy on the cover of the New Yorker magazine once a year.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of us have found God, you know, in our finances because of this downturn. And, you know, and I think God's name is Susie Orman.
Susan, thank you very much for the call and thanks for listening to the program.
You're welcome.
Bye bye. Let's see if we can go to this is Alyssa. Alyssa with us from Cincinnati.
Hi. My comment is that anyone who asks for money from the government can't be making a certain amount. Like, you can't go to the government and say, I need food stamps, but yet I want to continue to make $250,000 a year without being asked to make a certain sacrifice. And in terms of being able to fit in and keep up, you know, with the Joneses and have a certain lifestyle, well, tough. You know, not everyone is entitled to that. And just because you have a certain job doesn't mean you should be entitled to that.
At many institutions that get government support, Alan Tulkin, senior executive officers are prohibited from making more money than a cabinet officer, which is less money than the president makes. You can be sure of that. And I guess Alyssa is saying if these people are, in effect, public sector employees, they ought to be willing to play by public sector rules.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, I'm not defending this, and so possibly she's right. You know, it could be a great idea for people to become bankers because they actually want to, you know, be more like George and It's a Wonderful Life and loan people money to because they think it's a beautiful thing for people to own homes and to get into it for the right reasons. So, you know, maybe there will be a shakedown, but maybe there will be a shakedown.
Alyssa, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Here's some emails, more or less all along the same lines. If $500K is not enough in current income, let them live off savings, writes Miles in St. Cloud, Minnesota. That's what I'm doing without a job. There goes the home down payment and the IRA and the 401K.
You know what I think is interesting is that a lot of these guys lived in the same kind of debt bubble that a lot of the rest of America did. They lived beyond their means. Their means were extraordinary, but a lot of them bid up, you know, they all wanted the same house in Southampton. They all want the perfect co-op apartment in a penthouse on Fifth Avenue. And they bid these things up to the edge of what they could afford. Just as in many neighborhoods in America, houses became a bidding war, and whatever you could get from the bank in terms of a mortgage was what you would pay. So they might not be worth sympathy, but it's fascinating that a lot of them don't have money at the end of the year, just like a lot of us don't.
Zach in Boise, from a logical point of view, it's perfectly acceptable for the federal government to cap the pay of executives if they receive bailout money. The government is lending money, therefore, it's their right to set the terms of the loan within reason, of course. From a personal viewpoint, I've had to make lifestyle changes after losing my job and taking a lower paying one. It's perfectly reasonable to expect a failing institution's executives to adjust theirs as well. And I don't know how you specialize, Alan, but are you aware of bankers saying, look, this is a new world. We have to adjust differently and make a new kind of bank that has new kinds of paradigms?
Well, I don't know if anybody's actually, you know, changing the model of the way that they do their work, anybody who still has their job. I will tell you that throughout New York, there's a lot of investment bankers and lower level people who have lost their jobs. And I'm hearing, you know, I do a lot of lifestyle reporting and I am hearing that a lot of these people who are, you know, getting out of the city and becoming bartenders in Aruba if they can find the job, or, you know, just like happened after 9/11, a lot of people are taking a look and are reappraising their lives.
Yeah, it's the same kind of seismic effect on a lot of industries. And, of course, there was a big shakeout in the financial institutions right after 9/11, too.
And I think, you know, what's going to happen in New York is that things are going to get cheaper. You know, we might actually reach a day when you can afford to live as a rich person in New York on $500,000 a year. But right now, it's pretty tough.
We're talking with.
I'd love to try it, though.
Yes, I think we could all suffer through the experiment. Alan Salkin is a reporter for the New York Times and the author of "You Try to Live on 500K in This Town," which was published in Sunday's paper. He's with us from our bureau in New York, and you're listening to the Opinion Page on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Wendy on the line. Wendy from Love Valley in North Carolina.
Yes, sir. My comment is, I don't think that we should be so quick to judge these people. They have worked hard. They've gone to school. They're the best in their field. Our whole economy is not doing well. But if that's the top of the line, they should be able to make the money. Why is it a sin, and when did it become bad to be rich in America? I don't think we should be ostracizing these people. I understand if they are getting taxpayer money, there maybe should be some guidelines. But I don't think that we should. We're not a socialist country. So if you can make the money, make the money.
Alan Salkin, a good point.
I will tell you, Neil, that probably your call screeners can say the same thing. That is, according to my email, that's 1 in 20 emails of that opinion. And she might be right, but most 19 out of 20 people want to lynch these guys.
And that's the atmosphere that we're in, Wendy, when people feel as if they are, these bankers, particularly those who are working in institutions bailed out by the taxpayer, are profiting from their pain.
Well, we're all having pain, but we've all made bad choices as well. It's not just their fault. There's a lot of people we can blame, but we can also blame ourselves because we've all, I was thinking the other day, if I wouldn't have spent so much money on shoes, I would have more money in the bank. So we all have our own fault in this problem. When, it's not just one person's fault. We can blame anybody and everybody if we want to.
Wendy, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Bye.
And this from Matt by email. I don't defend those who live the millionaire lifestyles, but what about the personal trainer, driver, and nanny? Their living is dependent on the lifestyles of the rich. And again, I've been reading some of the blogs, Alan Salkin, of bankers, and they're saying, you know, hey, there are a lot of restaurants going to go out of business on Wall Street if these caps go into effect.
I think that a lot of people that I interviewed for this story talk about the city's economy like the Titanic. And we've just hit the iceberg, and the band is still playing, and we don't even know how much water we're taking in.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to Katie with us from Phoenix.
Hi. I know that a lot of the countries in Europe, that the CEOs of the major corporations only make about 12 to 13 times the amount of an average line worker. Based on an average bank employee making, you know, $15 an hour, which is a normal starting wage, the cap would, if we were following a lot of the European models, a normal CEO would be making about $500,000 a year.
And I think that's true in several European countries, Alan Salkin, not necessarily all of them.
No, in several European countries.
No, I was sort of putting that to Alan so we could get a response to your point. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm sure if you just look at supply and demand, if the top people were making $500,000, then there would be no $50 million houses. And I just think it's just interesting to look at it probably would work wonderfully, and the rest of us would be more equal, and, you know, we'd all feel like we're all in this together, Jack, and maybe it would be a better world. But it's fascinating that, you know, a lot of people's livelihoods, a lot of real estate agents made money selling $25 million houses. A lot of mortgage brokers made money, and that's how we got here.
Well, I understand that, and I think that it's fair in a free market economy to have those freedoms. But if these people are asking for help from the government, I don't think it's an unrealistic expectation for us to say, sure, you want help, that's fine, but this is what the cost of help is going to be.
And they're all going to have to live in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Wouldn't that be a tragedy?
Oh. Hoboken's very nice.
Very nice, Hoboken.
Yes.
Alan, can you afford Hoboken?
I am very lucky, Neil. I bought an apartment in a hip neighborhood in New York in 1997 for almost nothing. And I would not have a job at the New York Times if I didn't have that low mortgage payment. I would have had to leave the city, and who knows what would have become of me.
All right, Katie, thanks very much for the phone call. This from Paula, and she writes, I understand that people commit to a certain lifestyle based on what they think they're going to be making. However, this is true that at all socioeconomic levels, equally true as one's expected income can suddenly drop, get eaten up by unexpected expenses, or go away completely. Someone making $10 an hour who loses that job thanks to the recession is similarly hard-pressed to pay their bills, only they have a lot less downward room to scale down their lifestyles. I don't feel sorry for these people who have allowed their worldviews to become so skewed. And again, we should point out, neither necessarily does Alan Salkin, who did not, as I read his piece, cue up the cellos to weep for those making all this money and forced to live perhaps at $500,000 a year. Though, as I understand it, Alan, that's likely to be more a symbolic cap than a real one.
Well, we don't know. It's supposed to be for people, for bankers who take money from this point going forward from the TARP. And I want to point out there's expenses that I didn't list in that story. You might have an ex-wife, you might have child support. There's always the mistress.
Alan Salkin's next article, I think, is going to be about the nobility of sewer tunnel workers.
Absolutely. Please.
Alan Salkin writes for The New York Times. He wrote in Sunday's editions, "You try to live on 500K in this town." He joined us from a bureau in New York. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
Speaking of rich people, Alex Rodriguez of the New York Yankees admitted today that he used performance-enhancing drugs in 2003. The next shoes to drop, and why do we care about steroids in baseball? Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.